What if I told you you could be anywhere you want to be in just 3 years? It's true. By staying hyper-focused on your goals and purpose, you can make your vision a reality in just a few short years or even sooner. The trick is, you have to build the routine that will support you in getting there. The good news, we've already done the hard part for you. We created a free 5-minute morning routine tailored specifically to you. It's delivered straight to your inbox each morning, is designed to help you supercharge your mornings with clarity, focus, and inspiration. By committing to this 5-minute routine daily, you'll create total clarity on your purpose and goals, inspiration to help you build a lasting habit, and the life that you want in just 3 years. The best part, this tool is totally free. No strings attached, just valuable resources to help your inner and outer growth. So if you're looking for a short, easy morning routine that will help you, one, stay laser focused on your vision you have for your life, and two, help you make progress towards that vision every single day, head to adamhergenrother.com/future or visit the link in the show notes to create your future self today.
Hold on, just pause for a second.
I love you guys.
Have a great day.
I want to try. Do you have any?
Wait, you edit them?
Hey everybody, I'm Adam Hergenrother, and this is Business Meets Spirituality. We believe in personal growth through business success. Today I am joined by a ferocious Hallie this morning, who's yelling at me because we were trying to do some outros for the podcast.
I was laughing.
It was a little bit more than a laugh. And people don't really like we always do our live intros to listen to the conversation, but if you ever have guests or do reviews or outros, which always feel a little odd to me to do, by the way, of like, I don't really like self-promoting things in here, but then people ask us where they can find information, so we try to do it. But anyways, it took me like,
it is a business.
It is. Yeah, I get it. But it is, it's funny because, I have a struggle reading things from paper, and it's actually hard for me.
Reading aloud, yes, that is a challenge for you.
Well, not reading things on paper, like reading...
Reading out loud.
Reading out loud from things that were previously written.
Something that's written, yes.
And even if I write it, it's still very difficult for me to read out loud. It's just the funniest thing.
I know.
I was listening to this podcast this morning, and there's a professional CEO over there, and they were asking him about his presentation style, and they said, do you kind of write your speeches? And he goes, I have the framework in my head, and then I just fill in the gaps because I can't actually read from like a teleprompter or read from a thing. I have to kind of speak, he said, from the heart. I just speak from intuition or creativity or whatever that is. I feel like I'm much more there, whereas you are the opposite of that.
Well, I mean, when I teach my webinars, I have my framework through my slides, but I just... It's not like I have anything written down.
It's true, but
I also know the topic quite well, so I can talk on it for a long period of time without.
And at the same time, you can also follow. Like,
I can also read out loud.
That's really good. That's good. So I'm glad we covered that. And you're on a little. You're no more cold brew right now for a little while, right?
That's right. It's been coming up on like a week and a half of no. Caffeine.
Yeah.
Particularly my cold brew, which I definitely miss.
I know. You know, I was telling Hallie before we jumped in, I had never actually had cold brew before. I'd had iced coffee, and I drink one cup of black coffee a day. And I had like 2 weeks ago before I was mountain biking one day, and I had a little couple sips, and I was like, wow, this is really, because I like dark, burnt coffee.
Yeah.
Like just really
too.
Like, and I taste the cold brew. I'm like, wow, it's
different.
Zero calories,
it's
but it's amazing.
Yeah. Clearly you don't listen to me very well, because I'm pretty sure I've been talking about cold brew
years. I had, in my head,
It
was iced coffee.
No.
So it was always, I just figured that cold brew was just another way of doing iced coffee until I realized that.
Cold brew's better.
It's better, and it's a whole other thing. So I'm just a little late to show, but in case anybody else was thinking the same thing.
You can make it at home too.
I don't know. Well, Brian, like one of our guys down the hall makes it every day. And he's always like,
that's a French press. That is not cold brew.
He's like a French press cold brew.
Cold brew typically you have to do overnight, so I'm pretty sure he's not doing that. He's probably doing a French press and then pouring it over ice.
He could be. But either way, actually,
I know I'm right.
The other day was good. that's good. I was having a wonderful, over the weekend it was really great. I got my son is in lacrosse, and so he was in a tournament, which was great because there's so many lessons that come from sporting events to be able to bring into business events. But a couple of our employees were actually there, and one of the really interesting things is that we were talking Monday morning when we were meeting with him, and he said, it was really neat to see how you reframed like going from being like a coach to like a parent, all in the midst of a couple of theirs, and then instantly coming back into business and just wrapping your head and going right back into business. And so we had a wonderful and beautiful conversation about the freeing feeling of these roles that we play, yet not identified in any roles, but also acknowledging the fact that you are playing a role in there. And it was like, intuitively, we always do this. Mm-hmm. So I think some of the one of the most important characteristics, I would say, of a life, but you could say characteristics of an entrepreneur, of a business owner, or somebody who is just living a full life, which all of us are, right? One of these characteristics is one, number one, understanding that you have these roles, right? And I think people, they if you ask you who they are, a lot of people are like, well, I'm a business owner, or I'm you know, a chief of staff, or I am a marketing director, or I am a sales director,
or
I'm
wife,
a mom, or exactly, I'm a school teacher. Like, they have these roles. But I think the problem that starts with this is when we, number one, is when we become identified with the role and we carrying it around with us into every conversation that we're going into, which, and so we want to separate this conversation from understanding that there's values that, of how you want to live your life that you can carry in every conversation. But the role that you play, and I think it's really important, it's almost freeing to know that, like, in acknowledging that we have this role that we play, many of them in many instances, by the way, in the same meeting, and I'll give examples of this, and yet at the same time, being able to throw the coat off the minute you don't need that, either put another coat on or just not have any coat on, right? Or it could be another role that you play of just being in the essence of those things. But there's an ethos or a string that can tie all those together, not the identities, but how you show up in those things. Because there's a quote that, you know, I think a lot of people use, and I actually don't agree with it.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact wording, but it's something along the lines of how you show up in one area of your life is how you show up in all areas of your life.
Yeah.
And that may have been referenced to, like, you know, if you're on time or something like that, but honestly, sometimes you're on time for some things and sometimes you're not, depending on what role you're playing.
Yeah, I think we were actually having that. And you had it in one of our slides that we were presenting. And I'm like, I can't present that slide.
Yeah.
And you're like, why? And so we ended up actually having a long discussion about it. And you're like, oh, I think I understand that. Yeah. And at first, I used to actually teach them, like, yeah, how you show up everywhere is like, you have to show up there. And then all of a sudden, as I maybe matured,
you show up with your values and like who you are and like the deeper sense of self. But yeah, there's no way I show up the same way here at the office that I do at home.
Yeah, and it's impossible not to acknowledge that we have these roles on. That's kind of the purpose of this, is just giving people that freedom to say, well, hold on a second. Like, we do have these roles that we play, right? Like, Bill is in law enforcement. So like, if he showed up at home as a law enforcement officer in the relationship that he's trying to have with you, it wouldn't really work.
Do you know what's actually really funny about that is what? Every time we get together with some of our friends and they've known each other for 10 years and they've all worked together in law enforcement, they will tell me some stories about Bill. And like, he did this and he was just like this badass and da da da. And I just look around the table and I'm like, who are you talking about? Yes. And why doesn't that guy ever come home?
Yeah.
Because he is not like that at all. I mean, you know him. He's like the most docile human there
gently,
is.
He's a wonderful, wonderful human
and
being.
And all these stories I hear from his buddies, and I'm just like, he definitely has different.
Yeah.
Roles.
It's also sometimes when you know relatives or having family friends that or even friends for a long time. But I always kind of in my head, the way I always process is like, I've been around, you know, you've got 30 people in a family gathering and one of them is, you know, kind of successful or like a high end job, but you're sitting around like this table talking to them and you're going, how the hell is this guy like a CEO of this company or whatever it is, right? Like, just made that up, or how does he do this? And then I've always astonished and I go, well, so tell me what you do, right? Like, and then I start being really inquisitive. Like, what does that mean for you? And boom, they like get into it and you can see the switch go in there and how purposeful they are about their metrics they hit or how they do this or how they purposefully lead. And what is that? And so then you go, oh, I can see it now. But then when you're sitting around a table, they're not acting that way. So it's almost like, it's like if you're a baseball player and you're sitting around there, like they don't know that you're a good baseball player until you see you acting in the field. And it's the same type of thing happens in those things. Mm-hmm. I think it's how you define that quote, right? Like, there's some people would say, well, yeah, how you show up is how you show up everywhere. Again, like being on time, or, you know, or do you show up with kindness? Those are, I think those
values
are values or
your integrity, that sort of thing.
Whatever word you want to put there that makes like whatever word makes sense for you there, but not like I show up in golf knowing that I'm going to be mediocre, right? I show up in a lot of activities that I don't care as much about, knowing that I'm not going to show up with the same level of intensity as I do other things that I care about.
Right. But to that point, you would still be respectful of other team members. You would have neutral energy around the outcome of the game.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And that is the same you that goes to business and as a parent.
Well, I think the point of that is that people go, well, I show up in business with a lot of intensity, so I have to show at home up with a lot of intensity. I show up in business with always having to cast this vision and being the leader in charge. And then I come home and I want to be this leader and I want to be in charge, and that can break a marriage.
Yeah. I actually often will say I've made way too many decisions all week.
Yes.
Or all day. Yeah. And I'm just like, I can't make any more decisions. And I am expected to make the decisions at home, because that's to a certain degree who I am. But I'm just like, no decisions, can't do it.
I think there can be
don't want to.
Yeah, there can be a sense of when you're rewarded in some of the roles that you have and you bring them home, you're not rewarded in the same capacity. Right. So like, I always look at this in my life, like my job is to cast vision. It's to hold people accountable that need helping accountable. Really have to be able to do that. Right. And then it's also like removing roadblocks and making very high level quality decisions for the organization, how we spend our time, how we spend our resources, our capital, who we hire, who we don't hire. There's a lot of decisions that go into that. Then if I bring that home, then Sarah ends up living my life that I'm deciding on, instead of really bringing in the family. Or if I'm asking him as a family, it's really maybe not the full extent of that. And people just kind of naturally fall into that because I'm just leading that, instead of actually pausing. And like you said, like, no, why don't you make the decision? Why don't you allow that to go?
Well, I was going to say it only lasts for only a short period of time because that, and then I do wonder, like, but you know, some of those qualities are inherent, I would say, or behavioral for us.
Yeah, totally. And you got to know when they're being overabused or they're overused to a point where you're trying to get what you want. At least I'm saying this in my life, like how I would use them as a way of trying to get what I want, almost manipulating my gift or whatever the area that I like to show up in. I can show up in there and be very persuading and be very vision oriented and pull everyone there, which is not a bad thing if it's the same vision that everyone shares, but it may not be. Right. Like, I can give you an example of this in my life. Like when I was doing Ironmans, I loved doing Ironmans. That was a vision for Adam.
Yes.
Right. It was a vision for Adam. But then I would talk about how wonderful it'd be to come on vacation on these events that I would do. And then, you know, after a couple of them, Sarah's like, you understand these aren't fun for me. I'm like, what do you mean? They're amazing. I'm out there running these things. She's like, well, I have three kids.
Yeah, it's a ton of work.
I'm running around there. It's so much work for me. I want to support you, but understand, like, this is exhausting for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't understand. Like, it's so, and she's like, because you're not dealing with any of this. So just an example of that, like how it can show up, like, hey, I'm teaching these kids modeling, like, of exercise and how to push through this. Yes, you are. And there's got to be like, okay, so if you really want to do this, then go do it by yourself or get a babysitter or have them stay with somebody else and have Sarah come. And she really enjoys that part. So again, you can still do your thing. Just make sure you're very heightened aware of how your actions of what you're doing are consequences to anybody else that's around you. And so kind of going back to the freeing of shedding these identities and yet being willing to step into the identity when you need to, which I think is one of the most wonderful characteristics a conscious leader can have. And so let me give some examples of this thing.
Can I just say one thing? It's not necessarily, just clarify for me, it's not necessarily shedding them. It's because you can't, I don't know, maybe you can completely get rid of an identity, but it's not necessarily shedding it. It's just knowing what one to use when, being conscious of the identity that you have.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So really what it comes down to is like in the moment is knowing when to step into the identity and to shed it, kind of like what you said, but you are stepping into the role. So I'll give you these examples.
And not being attached to anyone in particular.
It's almost like you're a mist floating through it, and you're willing to step up and shine in whatever moment you need to shine. But it's not always, you don't carry that and identify with it in everything you necessarily do. So let me just give you.
But accept the fact that so many people do, well, and that can become challenging.
That's it. And what they do is they've actually convinced themselves that they don't identify with this, but they're so identified with something else that they can't actually understand. Hold on, just pause for a second. Hi, guys. Hey, come.
You did pretty good.
Yeah, you did. Come give me a hug and a kiss.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Which I actually think is hilarious. Hilarious, perfect timing that two of your little children just came in to say hi and you switched right into dad mode.
Well, it's actually hilarious that we were doing this podcast right in that same happened. And like, well, they walked in and I was like, well, maybe they'll sit there for a second. And then all of a sudden they started being loud. You could hear it as a listener, like the drop and stuff in there. And I was like, okay, I just need to give them some attention for a second for what it is. But I mean, that's part of the role that we can do. Right. And so I think going back into it. So I think giving yourself, so as an example, is like if you're leading an organization or you're just leading any division or you're walking in as a leader, knowing when to actually lead the conversation, knowing when to actually follow, be a follower, knowing when that you could be a janitor at sometimes. Like I walk through a building and I pick stuff up. Nobody ever notices that I do or whatever it is. So it's never, so it's just understanding that you can switch into these roles constantly that life is asking you to do. Like we're using these in these terms of words, but I would even look at it as just like, you're just doing your job, right? You're just showing up in that moment and that job can take on different components of it. And I say the word job can be in your family life, just in terms of like what you're actually doing. So, I mean, sometimes you need to be the one making the full-time decision. Sometimes you need to be the one actually sitting there asking the question. Sometimes you need to be to let somebody else take the reins of what it is. And again, if you're not attached to your, I'm the owner of this company, then maybe you'll be much more open to allowing somebody to actually lead that meeting or that conversation or that division and giving somebody to do without feeling this imposter syndrome that so many people have, because you're still cloaked in this whole world of I'm the one that needs to be the CEO or the owner and needs to bring all this value. That is a fragmentation, right? Or that is a side effect, if you will, of being identified with a role that you're not realizing that you're still identified with. Because if you weren't identified with being a leader or a CEO, then you would never feel an imposter syndrome. You would never actually feel that because it wouldn't matter if you had the role or not.
Right, I'm like thinking about that and I'm like, is that really true though?
It is. If you didn't have any energy around whether or not you actually...
But imposter syndrome means like you're feeling like a fraud.
Yes, which means that you need to be the one adding the value.
Well, I mean, you can be feel an imposter syndrome as a parent. You can feel imposter syndrome as
exactly
a team member, as anybody.
Yeah, totally. So, but I'm just saying, what I'm saying is, you can show up with zero energy there in that role as a mom or as a teenager or as a parent or as a business owner or as an employee, right? And show up 150%, but have no energy attached to it. And then again, if somebody said, well, you're not holding value, you'd go, let me work on it. What can I do these different things? But you wouldn't be attached to it. You'd actually be untethered from the role that you play. Which, and so like in that instance, then a lot of these things that prevent people from being conscious leaders would actually not be a problem anymore because we're still so attached to these roles. That's what I mean. Like they're so embedded in us that we think that we've peeled off one or two layers of the role that we're attached to, but we really haven't done the deep work to actually remove it from ourselves.
Where's the difference between pulling back and removing the role and then it just being you and who you are?
Well, who you are is the one who's witnessing all of this.
Right. But we do have...
You mean the personality?
Like our nature, right?
Or everyone's their ego, whatever it is. Like,
wait, well, not necessarily ego, but everyone has their own nature. We've talked about that before.
Yes, you do.
So where, like, if somebody's nature is to be a mom, let's just say that. If their nature is to be a mom, at what point can they take the mom hat off if that's, like, what their nature is?
Well... I think somebody's nature wouldn't be necessarily to be a mom. It may be to be serving nurturing or caring.
Okay.
And then the mom is the role that you play.
Right, because you can do it in many different ways.
Because like Mother Teresa, I don't think had any kids of her own.
No, she did not.
So, but yet she was very motherly, right? I'm just using that as a big name. That doing, but there's plenty of people that we've never heard of that are doing that, right? That don't have, you know, kids.
A role to play.
That a role, but they're still showing up very nurturing. They're doing it. They could nurture in their business. They can nurture for, you know, people take care of me that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like there could be all these different things. So the mom is the identity. The who you are, the values or the nature of you is a caring, nurturing person. There's going to be some people extraordinary, right? Not extraordinary is not the right word. Extroverted.
Sorry.
Yeah, like, no, I was extraordinary for that. But like are much more extroverted and like that's how they show up, right? There's birds that talk all day long and there's birds that don't.
Right. And an extrovert in that example, somebody who's extremely extroverted can get into business. They can become an artist. they play can play different roles, but
absolutely
at the core is just their nature, their values, whatever.
Yeah, even Steve Jobs was not a tech guy, right? Like right. Steve Jobs, his nature was simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Like he happened to bring that into technology, and then he happened to be a CEO from that, right? It's for one of those roles that you had to play. Like Michael Singer, as many people know, is I love that guy, and like his entire nature was to be very introverted and quiet, yet he became a CEO of a company that was worth billions of dollars in the 90s. And he had to look up what it was like to be on a board, right? Like before he was doing it, but he played that role, but he knew it wasn't him. He was just the role that I play until I no longer needed to play it. And there was zero energy whether or not he needed to be that role anymore. And when it wasn't time for him to be that role anymore, he just moved away and then he became a writer. He just still taught. He was teaching through business and he taught through lecturing and whatever it is that he was doing. That's always stayed the nature of it. So I think there's a nature or this personality that we have that we're bringing into it that takes on different roles in our lives. It's this addiction to thinking you are that role or that you're thinking that you are that identity and wanting to maintain that when it's not the right moment to maintain that is what causes a lot of suffering and disharmony within people.
Yeah, I was going to say not even necessarily just the moment, but also when it no longer serves other people or you.
Yeah, and most of the time it doesn't. Like, you know, you could have you brought this example up. I don't know if this was directly for your mom, but like you brought up the example.
Yes, it was.
Of an example of like, when does a mom be a friend?
Yeah, like when you're 37 years old, it would be nice if you weren't being mommed still. But maybe you know what I mean. Like there's a...
Well, my brother told me this story the other day. Like he's like, Dad, can I just borrow a chainsaw? My brother is 43. He's like, can I borrow a chainsaw? I'm going to take down these limbs. And my dad's like, oh, you know, there's a chain guard in this. Like the chains can flip back here and they can really cut you. And he's like, I'm going to come drop it off. So he comes to go drop it off. He's like, I'm actually just going to go do it for you.
Yeah.
And my brother's like, Dad, like I'm 43. I'm a grown man. I can cut a 2-inch branch with a chainsaw. No, let me just do it for you. And it's,
yeah.
He had that same role. So again, that's that you can use example after example of this. It's
which is generally fine. But there's some times where it doesn't necessarily serve Tommy or me well, you know.
Or even in parenting, there's times that I'm a coach to my parents. There's times that I'm a disciplinary to my kids, and there's a time that I'm just a friend. Like sometimes they just I think that's helped me parent a lot better because there's times when I think the less attached to any of these roles are that you have, the easier it is to see which role you need to play. And again, I would just go back to saying it's easier to see how you serve the moment because that's all you're really doing.
Right, right.
What's at the end of what we're saying here is coming back to the basics of how do you serve the moment, and how you serve the moment is going to be based on what the moment's doing in front of you. If all hell is breaking loose in your business, you probably need to be the CEO, right? And you probably need to be a wartime CEO, right? If your family's laughing and having a wonderful time, you probably don't need to be a wartime CEO.
Right.
Right. Like the other, we were on the lake and we had a little paddle board. Right. And it was just like, I'm there. And like, at first I was like safety around boats. And then all of a sudden we got to the safe area and I was like, I don't need to be safety anymore. So then we had all the kids in the paddle board. We kept tipping it and we were just laughing and having a ton of fun. And I was just like, you just got to, what's conserve the moment. So again, even in these, it's just being willing to be translucent almost to what's happening in life so that in the interesting thing is the more you play that role, the meaning that you can play any role, the easier it is to see which one you actually need to serve. And that's why you hear people talk about like, well, an apple tree just serves. Well, of course, because it's just doing it. Why wouldn't it? Right. Mm-hmm. And of course, like, you know, when you're doing your job as a CEO or as an employee, like, of course, why wouldn't you? If you're being a friend to a friend, why wouldn't you? Right. If you're being a parent needing to have a disciplinary talk, of course, why wouldn't you? If you need to be a parent, be a friend, or if you need to be a sister and a brother, or you need to be, I used the example the other day in this conversation. I said, or you just need to be a stranger putting a smile on your face to help somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's a role you play too. You're not going to walk into a grocery store where nobody knows you and be the CEO. Right? Like, but that's what people do. They walk around like, oh, look at that guy or girl, right? Like she's walking around.
Don't they know who I am?
Yeah.
Why am I being inconvenienced?
Why isn't somebody holding the door for me? Because they do like all these things. It gives you a sense of humility that you're just serving. You're just doing your job. I listened to this podcast from Rick Elias with Peter Ortiz on The Drive. And it was a rerun from a 2019 episode. And I really enjoyed it. But Rick was a passenger on the Hudson River plane that went down, right, in 2009. And they recap the story there. It's really, you should definitely take a look at it. We'll look into our show notes. It's really wonderful. But one of the things, he also runs a multiple thousand company organization, and he's been very successful. But one of the things he said is after the whole ordeal went down and they were up on the shore like an hour after the plane happened, went down and magically landed for what it was. By the way, it was really interesting on there. Like if they landed at 151 miles an hour, if they had landed at 153, they would have like hit the ground in a different way. If they hadn't hit the tail perfectly, it would have flipped over. If they had 149 miles an hour, apparently the plane would have blown up. I don't know how, but that's what they there was like a four mile per hour.
It was like zero.
Yeah. Basically zero. And the captain Sully actually happened to be a gliding captain, meaning he taught planes how to glide down, not for safety necessarily, but like there was a, like you have a gliding plane.
Yes.
So like they're gliding planes, not just to save your life, but, and that's how he knew how to glide. He broke protocol, didn't go back to the other airport because he would hit buildings. He knew he wasn't going to make it from the gliding factor that he had, and he landed the thing. Like it's unbelievable, it's actually. Yeah. But anyways, when this guy Rick came up after the, on the boat, he saw Sully standing there by himself, kind of taking it all in what just happened. He walked up to him and said, "Hey, thanks for saving my life." And he said, he turned around or he looked at him and he said, the sentence that he said, "I remember the rest of my life." He said, "I was just doing my job." And so I think it's like, it goes back to that same thing. Is like in that moment, he was just doing his job. Like we're just doing our job. We're just serving in that moment. And yes, we call them roles. We have titles on them, but don't become the title. Don't become it. Eckhart Tolle talks a lot about this as well too. And he said, when I'm up as a spiritual teacher, the minute I'm no longer up here teaching, I drop the whole identity of being a spiritual teacher, because I don't want to ever walk around thinking I'm better than anybody else as a spiritual teacher. And so because people have asked him about that many times, and he's like, when I go up on stage, I understand that I'm playing a role that thousands of people are listening to me and I'm going to speak. But the minute I'm no longer doing this, I'm no longer living that. And so it's the same type of concept for any of these roles. It's that you can be a father and be so addicted to, you know, a role that you had. And I'm just seeing this right now in kids' sports, because this is funny because my kids are there at this age. You can see these parents who want sports so, like, they're reliving their entire lettered college or high school or college, you know, football or lacrosse or baseball, and they're reliving it with their kids, right? Like they're no longer, they're it's for them more than it is for their kids, because they're trying to live vicariously through them because they can't necessarily anymore. And yes, there's a role you can play with coaching your kids in sports, but man, it can be overly abused. And I think that's an example of that. Or you're a father or a mother and your kids, you know, you're so identified with that role, and then all of a sudden they want to leave the nest and you can't let them. So then you start, you know, because then what are you going to do? And what's your value? And we see that, I've seen that with grandparents right now of mine, or parents of even our remote family, of like them not wanting to let go of their grown children because they don't know what they're going to do with themselves, because they don't say it this way, but they're so attached to this role that they've been playing for 30 years, right? Because if you have generational type, you know, kids that are all different ages, how do you break that? So again, I'm just giving people the freedom to throw the jackets off. Right? Throw the whole identity of who you are. And if the identity or the moment is asking you to show up in a role, show up. If you're an employee and they're asking you to be the CEO, be the CEO.
What if you are not equipped for the role?
Then you divert it. Then you do either you A, do your best that you can, or number two, you take the next level of action that you can to help get somebody that can be equipped for the role. If there's an accident going, you can't handle a sight of blood, you're probably not good at the use of it, but you can certainly turn away and call 911 and help flag somebody down or get somebody else that can actually help out. The same type of situation to go. The really interesting thing about this is the minute people let go of this identity to all these roles, and one of the reasons why I have these conversations is because I don't think people realize how addicted they are to their roles, but once people let go of their roles, the clarity that comes is stronger than anything than the mind can generate. It's just there. Yeah, go
offer
ahead.
An alternative perspective, because I feel like I might be experiencing this a little bit. When you let go of the roles, it doesn't necessarily immediately feel clear. It actually can be, you actually are left uncertain, confused, and not quite sure who you are.
Yeah. Well, that's the deep, deep work, right? So like what you're doing is you're letting go of your entire identity of who you thought you were. So that's a whole other level. And so then
I maybe have done roles already. I'm not sure.
I think
I've done that okay so far.
You've rolled back a lot and you've done that deep work. Now what you're trying to understand is because you recognize a truth that was no longer, that was always present, but is becoming lighter and brighter in your life. And you're naturally drawn to this truth that's within you. And so that's what's causing the confusion right now. Is that there's a
right, because I think, well, then what do I do?
Yes. Because there's an ego that goes, well, if you follow that light that's down there, that's that bright light that keeps getting brighter. If you go touch that, then I'm not going to survive over here. So therefore, I'm going to just tell you everything I can do to try to get you to pay attention to me. That's what the ego says. And the ego's going, well, what would you do, Hallie? What would you do? How'd you show up? What would your value be in the world?
Maybe I need a new identity.
Yes. Maybe you need to go do something different. Maybe you need to move.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to go have kids. Maybe you need to go to their dog. Maybe you need to move your house. That's what's going to do it. And it's just going to try to distract you from going towards that light. So that's the wonderful place that you're at. And many people I think are getting towards, which is there's a burning truth in you. And it's always there for people. Most people have just covered it up, but it starts to become brighter and brighter and stronger and pulling stronger. And it starts pulling you into it a little bit more. And yet there's this battle that's happening inside because this old way of you is going, and which is the ego, right? It's the egoic mm-hmm. level of your concepts, your images, your identities, your roles, all these experiences wrapped up into a very tight knot. And it's going, don't let go of me. If you let go of me, you're never going to survive in this world. And everything you've done is going to be worthless. And people are going to think that you're this. And it's just terrible talk, by the way.
Yeah.
And then what you do is you say, well, at some point you just, I'm glad you brought it to this level. At some point you just,
I didn't think I was going to.
At some point then you look over there and you go, I hear you. Thank you. It doesn't work. What you're saying, talking to you inside, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. The mind is saying over there that mind is just talking. That's the nature. Everyone has a nature. The mind or the ego's nature is to do this. That is its nature. A tick bites people, right? The mind talks. The ego distracts you from yourself. Mm-hmm. It's just its nature. It's all that it is. So, but the problem is we're so caught up in it that we don't realize that that's actually what's happening until you see it that way and you go, wait, hold on. I've been following that all my life. And it's not that it's wrong. It just doesn't work. And I sense and I can see, you can feel, there's probably another word I can use to point to that. There's something inside that's going, this isn't it. And that's what you go, then you just move. You just actually like physically turn around inside and you start going towards a deeper truth that becomes a knowing of who you are at that level. And at that point, all of your roles start to evaporate. But the cool thing is, and the refreshing thing about that is when people jump in there, because it's going to feel like jumping into a fire, right?
Yes.
And Martha Beck talks about this wonderfully. And she said, when you jump into the fire, one of two things were going to happen. You become a phoenix. And you rise up from the ashes, and it was a fire and it hurt, but you still rise up, or you realize it wasn't a fire in the first place. So it can't hurt. That's what you end up doing. At some point, everyone will be faced, if they go deep enough, mm-hmm, with that choice, because there's a choice to go back to wanting to go back to this safe concept that I've created in my head that feels so good because I know it, even though it's wrong, it just is there, versus turning around and going to this much more knowing of a truth. And by the way, once you're there, then you can look back and you go, I can play all these roles. I can be a writer. I can be an author. I can be a CEO. I can be a trainer. I can be a mom. I can be a dad. I can be anything. And it's just fun. It's like Halloween. That's literally how you see it.
I hate Halloween.
It's like dress up. I don't know.
It's the worst holiday ever.
We need to do some deep work on that then. But then that's the reality is you just look back after you get there and you turn around and you go, what the hell was I doing with my life before? Why was I so attached to all these roles? And no wonder why I'm walking around anxious. No wonder why I want everyone to see me as somebody else. No wonder why I want everyone to have additional value for me. I want all these things to happen. And you recognize you don't need any of that. Because the only reason why you were doing that was to feel good in the first place, when you can just turn around and feel wonderful 100 times million. It's not a number, I know that, but like you get it, like a lot more than you could before. And that's the gift that you start to get. So where do people start with this? What's a characteristic of a conscious business, right? One of the most important characteristics is what we're talking about here is, and I would say that it's the most important characteristic of any conscious leader is to be willing to be untethered from any of the roles they play, which gives them complete freedom to interact with whatever role they need to, which i.e. is just serving or contributing based on the moment that's in front of you. Hey everybody, before you leave today, Hallie and I wanted to thank everybody who has left us a review. It really does make a huge impact in helping us get this podcast into the hands of other conscious leaders. Here's a review from Scott.
Yeah, so Scott said, "Each time I listen, I find myself rethinking previously held beliefs. I am then left with a push to reframe my perspective on things related to my personal and business growth. This podcast does not serve to reinforce your already existing beliefs about personal growth. It inspires you to discover new paths and perspectives to live out the life you have with meaning and impact."
And thanks so much for leaving a review. And by the way, please let us know what you like about the podcast, what you would love to see more of by leaving us a review wherever you listen to our show.